This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ayah number 97. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًّا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Say, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, it is none but he who has brought down the Qur'an upon your heart, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the permission of Allah. The verses that we're studying, as we discussed in the previous lesson as well, the Bani Israel presented various excuses, various justifications for not believing in the Qur'an, for not believing in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of those justifications, all of those excuses are being refuted in these verses. So over here, we see that another justification for not believing in the Qur'an is being refuted in this verse and also in the following verses. The Bani Israel, they asked the Prophet ﷺ, who brings wahi to you? And the Prophet ﷺ told them that it is the angel Jibreel. And when they heard that it's the angel Jibreel who brings the wahi to the Prophet ﷺ, they said, we don't like Jibreel, and because he brings the wahi to you, therefore, we're not going to believe in the Qur'an. Now, anyone with sound mind would think that it's not the postman who delivers the letter to you whose fault it is. It's actually the one who sends the letter to you. If you have a problem with the letter, why should it come out on the postman, on the delivery guy? It's not his fault. He's just doing his job. So over here they said, we don't like Jibreel. And because he is bringing the Qur'an to you, therefore we're not going to believe in the Qur'an. Now the question is, why did they not like Jibreel? Several reasons have been given. First of all, we see that several nations, even before Bani Israel, were destroyed for the wrong that they did. For example, the people of Ad, the people of Lut, people of Thamud, all of them were destroyed. And also to the Bani Israel, several punishments were sent upon them for their own wrongdoing. And all of these punishments, Jibreel was the one who brought these punishments upon them. Just as Jibreel was the one who brought the revelation, he was also the one who brought the punishment upon the people for their having disbelieved, for their having done wrong. We learned earlier about the Bani Israel, فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَىٰ غَضَبٍ. What is غَضَب? Anger that takes form into inflicting punishment. So punishment was affected on them how? Through angel Jibreel. So because Jibreel was the one who brought the punishments to us, if he is the one who is bringing the Qur'an to you, we're not going to believe in the Qur'an. We're not going to listen to you. So this is one reason as to why they did not like Jibreel. Another reason why they did not like Jibreel was because the Qur'an that was being revealed on the Prophet ﷺ exposed the negative side of the Bani Israel, exposed their wrongdoing, exposed their wrong actions. And this was humiliation for the Bani Israel. As we have read so far in Surah Al-Baqarah, that the scholars of the Bani Israel, what would they do? They would distort the words of Allah. They would distort the book of Allah. They would change the words of Allah. They were told, لا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل وتكتموا الحق وأنتم تعلمون. So all of these things that are being mentioned about the Bani Israel, they were a source of their humiliation. And they were angry as a result with the one who delivered the Qur'an to the Prophet ﷺ. So they did not like the content of the Qur'an. And because they did not like the content of the Qur'an, they were upset with the one who delivered the Qur'an. So this is another reason as to why they disliked the angel Jibreel. Another reason has been given that they were upset with Jibreel because he had brought the wahi to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was from among the Banu Ismail, who was from among the Arabs. So they were upset with him that why did he bring the wahi to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he should have brought it to one of us. Now, was it Jibreel's decision as to who to give the wahi to? No. The angels, as we learned earlier, they don't have any free will of their own. They only do what Allah commands them to do. So this justification that they offered, that we don't like Jibreel because of such and such and such reason, and because he brings the Quran to you, therefore, we're not going to believe in the Quran. So in other words, they said that Jibreel is our enemy. We don't like him. And anything that he brings, we're not going to like that either. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ say, meaning, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to these people, that man whoever, kana he was, meaning whoever is, aduwan an enemy, to who? لِجِبْرِيلَ to Jibreel. Whoever is an enemy to Jibreel. فَإِنَّهُ then indeed he. Indeed who? Indeed Jibreel, نَزَّلَهُ he revealed it. He revealed what? He revealed the Quran upon who? عَلَى قَلْبِكَ upon your heart. Meaning upon the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. Why did Jibreel reveal the Quran upon the heart of the Prophet ﷺ? Allah says, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ by the permission of Allah. In other words, this is not Jibreel's choice. This is not Jibreel's decision. It's the decision of Allah. Jibreel is only doing what Allah has commanded him to do. Now over here we see, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ then indeed he. What does it mean by this fa over here, then? Then over here has been understood in several ways. First of all, it has been said that فَإِنَّهُ means then the person who is an enemy to Jibreel should know that indeed Jibreel has brought the Quran, so on and so forth. So fa means then he should know. Then he should know. Secondly, it is understood as fa innahu, meaning then he should leave his enmity. Whoever has been an enemy to Jibreel up until now, he should leave his enmity. Why? Because Jibreel is only obeying the command of Allah. So first of all, what does it mean? That he should know that such and such. Secondly, then he should leave his enmity. And thirdly, it has also been said that what this means is, then let such a person die in his anger. Let him finish off in his anger, because his anger, his enmity is not going to change anything. His anger, his enmity is not going to change anything. It's not going to affect anything at all. Jibreel is obeying the command of Allah. He's not going to disobey Allah. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. And notice the word نَزَّلَ. نَزَّلَ is from نُون زَي لَام. نُون زَي لَام. And notice the شَدَّة on the زَي. This indicates that the action has been done gradually, one part after the other. So Jibreel brought the Quran to the Prophet ﷺ in how long? 23 years. It wasn't just revealed in one go, but it was revealed part after part, gradually. عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ upon your heart. Another thing that we must notice over here is that the Quran was revealed on the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. What do we learn from this? That the Quran is for the hearts. It's not just information that we have to process and store in our minds, but it is for the hearts. It should affect our hearts. So the purpose of studying the Quran is not just to learn something, to pass a test, to get a diploma, but instead it is that it should enter our hearts. It should affect us. عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ upon your heart. And as you know that the word قَلْب heart is used in the Arabic language for what? For the faculty of understanding. For the faculty of understanding. And in English also, there are many expressions. For example, to take to the heart. What does it mean? She took it, you know, to her heart. What does it mean? To take something to the heart. What does it mean by that in the English language? When someone is very much affected by something. Right? When someone is very much affected by something, then we say that such and such person, they took this to their heart. So, similarly, when something is in the heart as opposed to the brain, what does it mean? That it affects you more. Because heart is the place where feelings are, where emotions are. And brain is a place where logic is. Right? Sometimes things make perfect sense to us. They're completely logical. But what is the state of our heart? We don't feel like it. Or we feel like it. So, what wins? The logic or the feeling? The feeling, right? So, heart is the place where, in the Quran, in the Arabic language, the heart is used for the faculty of understanding as well as for retaining memory. In Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 46, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Do they not have hearts? فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا." That they should have hearts by which to reason. قُلُوب يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. Through which they would have aql, through which they would use their reason. So what does that show? That the heart is not just an organ that is pumping blood. What is it? It is an organ that also reasons. And we might say, but this is against, you know, science and all that we have learned. Remember two things. That whenever you learn something from the Quran, do not try to justify it through science. Do not try to justify it through the knowledge of the human beings. Why? Because the knowledge of the human beings is limited. One thing that people discover today, they could discover something that is completely opposite tomorrow. So don't rely on science, on the knowledge of the people, to understand the Quran. Understand the Quran as it is. But we can also use science or use the knowledge of people to supplement our understanding. But we should not completely depend on that. We can use it to supplement our understanding, but we cannot completely depend on that. You may have heard of some studies that have been done in which it has been discovered that there are actually neurons, brain cells, in the heart as well, not just the brain. There are neurons that are present in the heart as well, not just the brain. So, if we see over here that the Quran was revealed on the heart, what does it mean? That the heart that has some capacity of understanding, that has some ability of understanding. It wasn't just revealed on the brain. It was revealed on the heart. Because our brain accepts things in different ways, and our hearts accept things in different ways. So Allah says, فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. Then indeed He has revealed it upon your heart. How? Why? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. By the permission of Allah. So what does that mean by the permission of Allah? That He has revealed this Qur'an upon your heart. Jibreel has brought this Qur'an upon your heart. Not by His own decision, but by the command of Allah. And the word idn is from the root letters Hamza, Dal, Noon. So what does this show? That if a person has a problem with the wahi, with the revelation, with the commands of Allah, with the one who was chosen for the Quran, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then who does he have a problem with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And this Qur'an that Jibreel has brought to the Prophet ﷺ, it's not really something new anyway. Why are they denying? Why are the people of the book denying? Why aren't they believing? Allah says it is مُصَدِّقًا. It is one that confirms. It confirms the truthfulness of what? لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. For that which is before it. Remember the words بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ? Literally they mean that which is between two hands. But it means that which is before. So that which was before the Qur'an, what was that? Torah, Injil, Zabur, other books. The Qur'an confirms all of these books. In two ways. Content-wise, that the message is the same, the theme is the same, and also authenticity-wise. that these books were indeed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Qur'an is مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, and the Qur'an is also وَهُدًا, and a guidance. هُدًا is from the root letters هَدَلْ يَا, meaning the Qur'an shows the way from error to guidance, from that which is wrong to that which is right. The Qur'an is a huda. And the Qur'an is also وَبُشْرَى, and a good news. For who? لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, for those who believe. The word بُشْرَى is from the root letters بَشِينَ. We have done the word بَشِّرْ earlier. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Give good news. So بُشْرَى is good news. Remember that this word بُشْرَى from بَشِينَ, you also get the word بَشَرْ, which is used for human beings. And bashara is the human skin. It is the human skin which is different from the skin of other animals, other creatures. So bushra is such good news that makes the receiver happy. It makes the receiver of the good news very happy. And you can see the happiness, you can see the excitement on his face. You can see the excitement and the happiness visible on him. You know how when somebody is very sad, you can see the sadness on their face? And when someone's very happy, you can see the happiness on their face as well. All the time they're smiling. Even if there's no apparent reason to smile, they're smiling. They're very cheery, isn't it? They're very talkative. They're very helpful. They're very positive. So bushra is not just good news that, you know, okay, a person knows, yes, this good is going to happen, okay, and it's just information that he knows. No, you can see it on him. It becomes a part of him. You can see it in his attitude, in his behavior, in his outlook on life, in the way he deals with people, in his thoughts, the kind of things he says. So over here Allah says that the Quran is bushra for the believers. What does it mean? That the Quran gives good news of reward and Jannah to the believers. And this happiness, you can see it on the believers by their actions, by their words, by their outlook on life, by the kind of things they say, by the kind of things they express. You can see that they're very happy for having the Quran. So what do we learn from this ayah? That first of all, Jibreel, the angel Jibreel, has a very high status in the sight of Allah. How? Because he is the one who was chosen to deliver the Quran to the Prophet ﷺ. He was the one who was chosen to deliver the Quran to the Prophet ﷺ. And because this task is very important, is very great, this shows that the one who was given this task was worthy of performing that task. So it shows the high status of the angel Jibreel. Also, we learn from this ayah that the Quran is huda, it is a guide, and it is a bushra, it is a good news for the believers. So we need to check ourselves. After reading the Quran, after studying the Quran, after listening to the Quran, how do I feel? Do I feel happy? Or do I feel burdened? Oh my God, so much lesson to learn. How do I feel? It depends on your outlook. If you just focus on the content of the Quran, how you're benefiting from the Quran, your feelings will change. And if you just take the Quran as a book which you have to study, which you have to pass the exam of, which you have to read every day as a chore, then it becomes difficult. But when you focus on the content of the Quran, how it is helping you, how it is benefiting you, how you can benefit from the book, then your outlook will completely change. So Allah tells us that the Quran is a bushra. It is a good news for those people who believe. Also, this shows that if a person is happy upon receiving the Quran, it is a sign of his iman. If a person is happy upon receiving the Quran, what is that happiness? A sign of his true iman, of his sincere faith. Then Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ, whoever is an enemy to Allah. عَدُو, the word has been repeated, What's the root letters? Ayn, Dal, Wa. And remember that Adu is a person who is an enemy, and Ada Ya'du is to cross limits. So an enemy is the one who crosses the limits in his enmity. And enmity is expressed through words, it is expressed through actions, it is expressed through behavior, through dealings. And enmity is the opposite of friendship and love. It is the opposite of friendship and love. So over here Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ. Whoever is an enemy to Allah. What does it mean? That he shows his enmity to Allah by disobeying Allah, by hating what Allah commands, by hating what Allah commands, by leaving that which Allah has commanded, by going against what Allah has commanded. All of this shows that a person dislikes what Allah has said, that a person has enmity to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. So man kana aduwa lillah, whoever is an enemy to Allah, and whoever is an enemy to who else? Wa malaikati, and his angels. Meaning he is also an enemy to the angels of Allah. Wa rusulihi, and his messengers. Meaning he is also an enemy to the messengers of Allah. The word malaika is the plural of malak. Remember? Which is actually malak, from the root letters Hamza Lam Kaf. Hamza Lam Kaf. From Uluka, which means to deliver messages. And Rusul is a plural of Rasul. Rasul, one messenger. Rusul, many messengers. So whoever is an enemy to Allah, his angels and his messengers, meaning to the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. Angels includes Jibreel. Messengers includes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa Jibreel, and also he is an enemy to Jibreel. Wa Mikael, and also he is an enemy to Mikael or Mikael. Mikael and Mikael are two different pronunciations. Two different pronunciations. So Jibreel and Mikael. Now there's a question. Jibreel and Mikael are two angels, aren't they? Right? Jibreel is the one who brought wahi. Mikael is the one who brings rain, rizq. Why are they mentioned separately over here? Allah says over here, لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِكَالِ. Jibreel and Mikael are two angels. Malaika were mentioned before. So how come they're mentioned separately? How come they're mentioned separately? We discussed earlier, I mentioned this point to you earlier as well, where the messengers were mentioned, and then specifically Isa a.s. was mentioned. Why? To show the high status, to show the importance. So over here, these two angels are mentioned separately. Why? Because they're special. They have a very high rank. They are the chief angels. So whoever is an enemy to Allah, his angels, his messengers, to Jibreel and Mikael, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ, then indeed Allah, he is an adu, he is an enemy to who? للكافرين, for those who disbelieve. Kafirin is a plural of kafir. Who are the disbelievers over here? Who are the disbelievers over here? Whoever is an enemy to Allah, the angels, the messengers, Jibreel and Mikael, then Allah is an enemy to who? To the disbelievers. So who are the disbelievers? Those who have enmity. Those who hate Allah. Those who hate Allah's angels. Those who hate Allah's messenger. Who are the kafirin? Who are the kafirin? Who are the disbelievers? Those who have enmity to Allah, his angels, and his messengers. So Allah calls them disbelievers over here in order to point out the status of such people. So what does this show? What does this show? That a person who hates Allah is a disbeliever. A person who hates the messengers is a disbeliever. A person who hates the angels is also a disbeliever. Now the question is that Jibreel was being spoken about.
isn't it? The previous ayah mentioned Jibreel. And the Bani Israel had enmity against who? Jibreel. So how come Mikael is mentioned over here? How come he's mentioned over here all of a sudden? If you think of it, what does Mikael do? What does he bring? Rain. And what does rain do? What does rain do? It brings life to the earth, isn't it? It brings life to the earth. What is Jibreel's task? What does he bring? Wahi, revelation. And what does revelation do? It brings life to our souls. It brings life to our hearts. Without revelation, we are dead. Also, he has been mentioned over here because the Bani Israel would say that Mikael is our friend. They would say that we like Mikael, but we don't like Jibreel. So over here it is being said that whether you hate Jibreel, even if you hate one angel, and you like the other angel, still, this is not acceptable to Allah. You cannot differentiate between the messengers of Allah. You cannot say, I believe in this one and I disbelieve in this one. That is not complete iman. Similarly, you can't say, I like this one and I don't like this one. That is incomplete. So they said, we like Mikael, but we don't like Jibreel. So Allah says that all of them are my friends. Whoever is an enemy to one is an enemy to all. Whoever is an enemy to one is an enemy to all. So what do we learn from this verse? What do we learn from this verse? A disbeliever is the one who has enmity for Allah, His messengers, and also His angels. Also we learn from this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes His angels. Angels are beloved to Allah. And loving the loved ones of Allah is a means of attaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. And hating them is a means of attaining Allah's hate. Having enmity to them is a means of attaining Allah's enmity. There is a hadith that is mentioned in Bukhari in which the Prophet ﷺ narrated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ بَاغَزَنِي بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever takes a friend of mine as an enemy, I shall wage war against him. Whoever takes a friend of mine as an enemy, any friend of Allah, if a person takes him as an enemy, what does Allah say? That I shall wage war against him. What does that show? That Allah is an enemy to such a person. Then Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. And certainly, we have revealed to you clear signs, clear verses. Ayatin bayinat, ayat is a plural of ayah. And bayinat is a plural of bayina. What is bayina? A clear evidence. So what does this show? That we have certainly revealed to you verses which are clear and verses which are clear proofs. Bayinatin means verses that are clear evidences. Meaning all of these explanations that have been given over here, the refutations of the justifications that the Bani Israel offered, what are they? Clear. There is no reason to disbelieve in the Prophet ﷺ. There is no reason to disbelieve in the Quran. So what does Allah say? وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا. And none denies it, meaning none disbelieves in the ayat, إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ, except those who cross limits. It is only those people who cross limits who disbelieve in the ayat of Allah, which are very clear. The word fasiqun is a plural of fasiq. And fasiq is from the root letters fa, sin, qaf. Fa, sin, qaf. Fisq. Fisq literally means to cross limits. What does it mean? To cross limits. To go beyond the limits. To exceed the limits that have been set. And primarily, this word is used for example, it is said, fasaq, that the date, when it became very ripe, it burst. And it came out of its skin. You know, sometimes when dates become very ripe, what happens? The skin, you see it all shriveled up. You see it all shriveled up. Why? Because the date initially was very ripe, and as a result, it burst through the skin, and then eventually the skin became dry. So this is what the meaning of the word fisq is: when something crosses the limits. It doesn't stay within the bounds, and it rebels, and it goes out of the limits that have been set. And fisq is of two types. Fisq is of two types. The first type of fisq is fisq asghar. Fisq asghar, from saghir, which means small, minor fisq. What does it mean by minor fisq? Minor fisq is, for example, a person knows about the commands of Allah, he is still a believer, but he disobeys. And disobeying those commands does not necessarily make him a disbeliever. Disobeying those commands do not necessarily make him a disbeliever. Especially if it's just once or twice, or it's very rarely, or if it is something very small. Okay? For example, a person says to another that I will see you tomorrow at this time. I'm making a promise to you, I'll see you over there tomorrow. And because of some reason he's not able to come there, and he doesn't even get a chance to tell that person that he will not be able to make it. So what happens? He is actually going against his word. Now, breaking a promise is something that is very bad. It is a sign of hypocrites. So if a person goes against the command of fulfilling promises, does it mean that he becomes a disbeliever? No, that's not what the meaning is. It means that he has committed fisq, that is asghar, minor fisq. Okay? The second type of fisq is fisq akbar. What does it mean by akbar? Major. What does it mean by that? That a person crosses the limits that have been set, and as a result, he becomes a disbeliever. For example, over here from these ayahs we learn that it is very important to believe and love who? All of the angels, all of the messengers. And if a person just denies one, what is he doing? Who is he being called? A kafir. He is being called a kafir. So fisq akbar is that when a person crosses such bounds, he disobeys in such a way that he leaves the bounds of Islam. And in particular, the word fisq is used when a person knows the limits. You know, one is that a person doesn't know and he makes a mistake. The other is that a person knows about the limits, knows about the commands. He recognizes them. He acknowledges them. He accepts them. But still, he goes against them. He knows the commands. He knows the limits. He recognizes them. He acknowledges them. But still, he goes against them. This is what fisq is. So, وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. It is only those who cross limits who deny the clear evidences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Because a person who knows, who recognizes, who acknowledges the limits that Allah has set, and he doesn't care about them, will he care about the clear evidences that Allah presents? No. So the problem is not with the ayatim bayinat. The problem is with who? The problem is with the fasiqoon. Those who don't believe in the verses, and they also cross all the limits. Then Allah says, أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا. Is it not true that every time they made a promise? Awa kullama. A is istifham. Wa gives meaning of and. And kullama, we know about kulli shayin. Kull means all. And ma over here is extra. It is za'id, giving the meaning of whenever. Every single time. So awa kullama means, is it not true? Is this not the case? That each and every time, ahadu, they made an ahd. Ahadu, ahdan. Ahadu, ahdan is from the root letters, ainha, dal. What is an ahd? A promise that a person makes with the intention of keeping it, with the intention of fulfilling it. So who does they refer to? Every time that they made a promise. They refers to the Bani Israel, the fasiqun. Every time that they made a promise. With who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did they do? Nabadahu. He threw it. Who threw it? فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ, a group from them. What did they throw? What did they throw? What does it refer to? What does who refer to? The ahd, the promise. Now the word nabada is from the root letters noon ba dhal. Noon ba dhal. And nabada is to throw something. What does it mean? To throw something. But in particular, it is to reject something and throw it away. To discard something. What does it mean? To reject something and throw it away. To discard something. And in particular, the word nabada is used for something that is discarded, for something that is rejected. Why? Because a person finds it to be of no value. A person finds it to be of no importance whatsoever. For example, if you buy something that comes in a packaging, or for example, somebody sends a parcel to you and it comes in a FedEx box or FedEx envelope, what are you going to throw away? The envelope. You're going to discard it. You're going to get rid of it. Right? Why? Because you don't give any importance to it. It doesn't have any value. If you try to reuse it, if you try to pour something in it, is it going to work? No. It's not going to work. Right? So, nabada is to throw something out, to discard something, while thinking it to be unimportant. While thinking it to be useless. This is the literal meaning of the word nabada. And it's also to turn away from something. To throw something away and turn away from it. When you throw something in the trash, when you throw something in the bin, do you go and look at it again and again? No. Do you open your garbage can and go through it? Oh, that banana peel I threw yesterday. You don't do that. Right? Because it is of no value. You completely turn away from it. So, nabada is to throw something away, to not value it, to completely ignore it. So over here Allah says that every time these people made a promise with Allah, what did they do? They threw it completely. They completely turned away from it. They ignored it as if it is trash, as if it is a piece of garbage that doesn't carry any value, that doesn't carry any importance whatsoever. So nabadahu fariqu minhum. Allah says, a small group of them threw it away. Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so just. He doesn't say everybody threw it, but what does He say? Fariq. A group threw it away. Now what does it mean by throwing the promise of Allah? Nabadahu fariqu minhum. What does it mean by throwing, discarding the promise of Allah? What does it mean by that? Going against it. Breaking it, nullifying it. You throw something that is unimportant. You go against something that you find unimportant. So nabadahu fariqum minhum, meaning they completely nullified the promise, they broke it, they went against it. Now which ahd is this? Which promise is this? The promise over here has been understood in two ways. First of all, as I mentioned to you, Ahadu ahdan, ahd refers to the promises that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we have learned in Surah Al-Baqarah, so many promises, so many covenants that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were mentioned in the surah. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِثَاق وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِثَاقَكُمْ. So many covenants were mentioned. But what happened after every covenant? What did they do? They went against it. They followed it for some time. They kept it for some time. And then after some time, they completely denied it. They went against it. So first of all, it refers to the promises, the covenants that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of that was denying or disbelieving in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because part of the promise was what? خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Take what we have given you with strength. Meaning take all of the teachings of the Torah and implement all of them. Part of the teachings of the Torah was what? That when the final messenger comes, you believe in him, you follow him, you support him. But when the Prophet ﷺ came, what did they do? What did they do? They didn't believe in him. They didn't follow him. They didn't support him. So Allah says every time that they made a promise, what did they do? They threw it. They didn't follow it. They didn't keep it. Secondly, it has been said that Ahd over here refers to the promise, the agreement that they made with the Prophet ﷺ. When the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, remember there were three types of people who lived there. One group was of the believers, the Ansar and the Muhajirin. Another group was of the Arab Mushrikeen, who remained Mushrik, who did not become Muslim. Everybody did not become a Muslim in Medina initially, and eventually everybody did. But at the beginning, everybody did not become Muslim. So the second group was of who? The Arab Mushrikeen. And the third group was of who? Of the Jews of Medina, the Bani Israel. Now remember that if in one city, if in one area, three different people are living, obviously there are going to be conflicts. Each one has their own leader, each one has their own way of life, there are going to be conflicts. So when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, there was a treaty, there was a mithaq that was made between all of the three groups. All of the three groups, they agreed to follow certain rules so that they could all live in peace and harmony. And this mithaq was called Mithaq of Medina, the Treaty of Medina. And it had many clauses. But one of the main clauses was that if anyone attacks Medina, so for example, the people of Mecca, they come and attack Medina. Anyone attacks Medina, then all of the three groups will combat the enemy together. All of the three groups will fight against the enemy together. Does it sound reasonable? Of course it does. There are three groups living in Medina. If anybody comes and attacks Medina, if you want to live here in peace and harmony, then what should you do? Defend. So all of the people of Medina were supposed to defend Medina. But what happened? The Yahud, the Bani Israel of Medina, they did not follow this clause. They did not support the Muslims. For example, at the time of Badr, at the time of Uhud, at the time of the Battle of the Trench as well, Khandaq, the Bani Israel, the Yahud, they did not support the Muslims at all. So they did not fulfill the clauses of the covenant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا, is it not true that every time they have made a promise, what did they do? A group from among them, they threw it away. Meaning, they did not follow it. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ, but rather most of them, لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, they don't believe at all. What do we learn from this ayah? That no matter which promise we make, whether it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or it is with the people, what should we do? We should fulfill it. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, most of them do not believe. What does that show? That a person who doesn't fulfill his promises, it is as if he does not have iman. They break their promises. Why? Because most of them do not believe. So it shows that a person who does not fulfill his promises, it shows that he has weak iman. And also we know that breaking a promise is one of the signs of the hypocrites. Then Allah says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ, and when a messenger came to them. This is an example of how they threw the promise, how they went against the promise. So when the messenger came to them, which messenger? مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is this messenger referring to? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them, and he is musaddiqun, he is one who confirms. Now notice over here, previously musaddiq was a sifa of, it was a quality of the book, of the Qur'an. Now over here, it is a sifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a musaddiq. For what? Lima ma'ahum, for that which is with them. How is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a musaddiq of that which the Bani Israel had? That he said that the Torah, the Injil, they are indeed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also he was a musaddiq in another way. with regards to the content. Which content? The description of the last messenger. The description of the final messenger. In other words, he met all of those descriptions. He fit all of those descriptions. It says very clearly in their scripture that he will be unlettered. And the Prophet ﷺ was unlettered. So, مُصَدِّقُ لِمَا مَعْهُمْ. Why is this said over here? That they recognized the messenger as well. What did they do? نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ. A group from among them, what did they do? They threw. مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. From among the people of the book. Notice, الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. Those people who were given the book. Utu is from the root letters. Hamzata, yeah. Ata means to come. Utu, they were given. Who are the people who were given the book? Who are the people of the scripture? The people of the book. Who does it include? The Jews and the Christians. Because they have been given the scripture. The Jews have the Torah. The Christians have the Injil. So when the messenger came, what did they do? A group from among the people of the book, they threw away. They completely disregarded. What did they disregard? What did they discard? Kitab Allah, the book of Allah. They threw away the book of Allah. Now, do you remember the literal meaning of the word kitab? Kitab is from the root letters. Kaftaba. And kitab is anything that is written. Maktub, anything that is written. It could be a document, it could be a command, and it could be an entire book. So over here, Kitab Allah has been understood in two ways. First of all, Kitab Allah has been understood as the book of Allah, meaning the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ came to them. He brought the Quran to them. What did they do? They threw the Qur'an away. Meaning, they did not believe in the Qur'an. It doesn't mean that literally, physically, they threw the Qur'an away. But what it means is that they disbelieved in the Qur'an. They completely ignored the Qur'an. As if a piece of trash is thrown in the garbage. It doesn't have any value. It doesn't have any importance. You don't need it. So similarly, they threw the Qur'an away, disregarding it, ignoring it, considering it to be of little or no importance whatsoever. They threw it away. So Kitab Allah first of all refers to the Qur'an. Secondly, it has been said that Kitab Allah refers to the commands of Allah. Because Kitab is that which is written. So Kitab gives the meaning of command. The teachings. Which teachings? Which commands? That the people of the book were given in their scriptures. What were they given in their scriptures? What command in particular were they given in their scriptures? That when the final messenger comes, who has such and such characteristics, you should believe in him, you should follow him. What did they do? When the messenger came, they saw him, they recognized him. Instead of believing, instead of following, what did they do? They disregarded the teachings of their own books. They threw those teachings away. They completely ignored them, as if they didn't even exist. نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. They threw the book. Which book? The book of Allah. Where did they throw it? وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. Behind their backs. They threw it behind their backs. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. As if they don't know. Now, when is that a person throws something away? Is he going to see it? No, he's not going to see it. And the other is that a person throws it away and throws it behind his back and he walks away from it. It's like you take your garbage can, you tie up the garbage and you leave it at the front of your driveway for the garbage truck to pick up. And what do? You walk away from the garbage. Are you going to see it again? No. Is it going to come in front of you again? No. Are you going to think of it? No. This is how they dealt with the Qur'an. This is how they dealt with the teachings of the Torah. They completely disregarded them and they walked away from them as if they didn't even know they existed. وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. Now the word وَرَاء is from the root letters وَاوْ رَايَ. We have done this word before as well. And وَرَاء is used in several ways. Sometimes it gives a meaning of in front of. Sometimes it gives a meaning of behind as well. The literal meaning of the word وَرَاء is something that is beyond someone. Something that is out of sight. Now, if something is behind you or in front of you, and if it's far, can you see it? No. Is it hidden from you? Yes. You can't see it. So the word wara is used in different ways depending on the context. So they through the book of Allah were behind zuhurihim. Zuhur is a plural of zahr. We did the word tawaharuna. Tawaharuna, you all assist one another. Zuhur is a plural of zahr, which means back. So they threw it behind their backs, meaning they totally ignored the book of Allah. They totally ignored the teachings of the Torah. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, as if they didn't even know. As if they didn't know what? As if they didn't even know that it is the book of Allah. As if they didn't even know that the Quran is the book of Allah. And if you take the second meaning of Kitab Allah, what does it mean by كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ? As if they didn't even know that these descriptions are there in the Torah. As if they didn't even know that these descriptions are there in the Torah. Now when we read this ayah, we think of the Bani Israel. Look how they dealt with the Quran. Look how they dealt with the book that they were given. But the question is, how do we deal with the book that Allah has given to us? How many times do we open up the Quran? How many times do we try to follow what is in the Quran? And how many times do we just pretend as if it is not even there? When a person doesn't follow the commands, what does that show? What does that show? Either he doesn't know, or he knows and he doesn't care. So when we don't follow the teachings of the Quran, what are we doing? We're pretending as if those teachings are not even there. Then our way is very similar to those people who have been described over here. And instead of following the book, instead of following the Torah, instead of following the teachings that they were given, instead of believing in the Quran, what did the people of the book do? Instead, they went after magic. They went on practicing magic. They were more interested in magic. You see, when the book of Allah is there, what should our interest be? That we should be interested in the book of Allah. But what were they interested in? Not the book of Allah. They were interested in practicing magic. Now before studying the next ayah, let's listen to the recitation up until this verse.
قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًّا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًّا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
Next time. وَاتَّبَعُوا, and they followed. Meaning, the Bani Israel, they followed instead, مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ, what the devils had recited during the reign of Sulaiman alayhi salam. وَاتَّبَعُوا. وَاتَّبَعُوا begins with wa, and wa means and. Remember that whenever an ayah begins with wa, it means that it is connected with what was mentioned previously. So over here, the ayah begins with wa, and they followed. Meaning, and instead of believing and following the book of Allah, instead they went after something else. They went after something else. And what was that? Magic. Ittaba'u is from the root letters ta-ba-ayn. Ta-ba-ayn. And ittaba'a is to follow someone, to completely follow and obey someone, to go after someone. So ittaba'u, they followed, they went after what? Ma, that which, tatlu shayateen, the devils recited. The word tatlu is from the root letters ta lam waw. Ta lam waw. Yatluna, they recite tatlu. You see, there are two ta over here. The first ta is of feminine, which is why the word tatlu should actually be it recites or she recites. But remember that in the Arabic language, the feminine gender is not just used for someone who is feminine, but it is also used for plural. Sometimes, the feminine is also used for plural. So over here, tatlu, it is referring to who? Ash-shayateen. And ash-shayateen is plural. Okay? It's the plural of shaytan. So tatlu shayateen, what the shayateen recited, which is why we translated tatlu as they recited. And tatlu is from ta'lam wa tilawa. What does tilawa mean? To recite, to read. And remember, from the same root letters ta'lam wa, you also get the word tilwan or talwan, which means to follow. So tatlu shayateen can be understood in two ways. First of all, what the devils recited, what the devils recited, what the devils read, what the devils related, whatever the devils narrated. And secondly, tatlu shayateen can be understood as whatever the devils followed, meaning whatever the devils practiced. Ma tatlu shayateen. And shayateen, as I told you earlier, it's the plural of the word shaytan. Shaytan is used for someone who is disobedient to Allah, is evil, incites others to do evil, min al jinnati, oneness, from among the humans as well as the jinn. But over here, the word shayateen in particular is used for the jinn. Remember that every shaytan is not a jinn. Shaytan can also be from among the human beings. But over here, the jinn have been called shayateen. Why? Because it is referring to the evil jinns. It is referring to who? The evil jinns. So, ما تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, what the evil jinn, what they practiced, what they recited, what they followed. When did they recite? What did they read? What did they follow? عَلَىٰ upon مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ, the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. عَلَىٰ over here gives a sense of fi. It gives the meaning of in, meaning during, in. Kingdom of Sulaiman. The word mulk is from mim lam kaf, maliki yawm al-din, master of the day of judgment. Mulk is to have the ownership of something. It is to have sovereignty, to be the sovereign, to be the king. It is also to have one's reign, meaning to be the ruler. So mulki Sulaiman, the mulk of Sulaiman, meaning the kingdom of Sulaiman, the area where Sulaiman alayhi salam was the king. Who was Sulaiman alayhi salam? The son of Dawud alayhi salam. And we believe that Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawud alayhi salam, both of them were prophets of Allah, who were sent to the Bani Israel. And the unique attributes of these prophets was that they weren't just prophets, but they were also kings, great kings of their time. Now over here, Sulaiman alayhi salam has been mentioned. Sulaiman alayhi salam was a messenger of Allah, and he had a great kingdom. Mulk has been mentioned over here. He had a great kingdom. And obviously because he was from among the Bani Israel, so he was the king of who? The Bani Israel. And he wasn't just a ruler over people, but he also had jinn under his control. He had armies of jinn. He had armies of birds. He had the wind under his control. And this was the special favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon him. And Sulaiman alayhi salam was given something that no other man was given ever. No other king was given ever. We learn in Surah Sad, ayah number 35, Sulaiman alayhi salam said, قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَهَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, my Lord, forgive me and grant me a kingdom such as will not belong to anyone after me. So give me a kingdom that no one else will be given something similar to that after me. Indeed, you are the bestower. So we see that Sulaiman alayhi salam had a great kingdom. He had armies of men, he had armies of jinn, he had armies of birds. And he had a great kingdom, he had a lot of power, he had the wind under his control. And when he had all of this power, the shayateen, they put in the hearts of people that Sulaiman alayhi salam acquired all of this through magic. They claimed that Sulaiman alayhi salam was not a prophet of Allah, rather he was a magician. Until today, this is what the Bani Israel believe in, that he was not a prophet of Allah. He was not a messenger of Allah. So what did they say? That he is not a messenger of Allah, and instead he obtained all of this through what? Through magic. And even at the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, what did the Bani Israel start to do? They began practicing magic. Because they thought if magic could take him up to this level, that he has the wind under his control. When we think of wind under being control of someone, when we think of jinn, what do we think of? Aladdin, right? We think of the magic carpet. We think of the lamp. So similarly, the Bani Israel, they went after practicing magic. Why? In order to obtain what Sulaiman alayhi salam had. And if you look at it, magic is something that interests everyone in some way or the other. Children from a very young age, they learn a trick and they say, I know magic. And children from a very young age, they want to learn these interesting tricks through which they can trick people. They call it magic. And we show them, or we make them read books like Harry Potter. And the list continues. From a very early age, they watch movies like Aladdin, and they go to magic shows. So what does that show? That people are interested in magic. People have been interested in magic in some way or the other from the very beginning. And also we see that people, when they want something that they know they cannot get, what do they say? If only I could have a jinn. If only I could have a jinn under me, I would do such and such. If only I had the lamp that Aladdin had. If only I had a magic carpet, I would do such and such. So we see that people are interested in magic, in supernatural, in magic in some way or the other. And this has always been a weakness of the human beings. It is a weakness of the human beings today. It was a weakness of the human beings at the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. It was a weakness of the people at the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam as well. So the Bani Israel, instead of being interested in the book of Allah, instead of being interested in the teachings of the book, what were they interested in? In practicing magic. And they had been practicing it since the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Up until now. Even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they tried doing magic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. So over here, Allah says, that وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ, that instead of following the book of Allah, they went after what the devils recited, what the devils practiced of magic in the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. So what do we see over here? That practicing magic, teaching magic, was what? A way of shayateen. And these shayateen could be of the jinn, could be of the human beings. So this is what they went after. Instead of going to the scholars and learning about the book, who did they go to? The teachers of magic. They went to those who tatlu shayateen, who recited magic, meaning who narrated as to how to practice magic. Or who tatlu, meaning they followed magic, meaning they practiced magic. So they went to such people instead. Allah says, وَمَا كَفَرُ سُلَيْمَانَ, and Sulaiman alayhi salam did not disbelieve. How? Sulaiman alayhi salam did not disbelieve. How? By practicing magic, by learning magic, by teaching magic. He did not disbelieve by practicing magic. He acquired all of that which he had. How? By the favor of Allah. He was a messenger of Allah. He was not a magician. He was not a sorcerer. So what do we learn from this? That practicing magic is kufr. It is disbelief. Practicing magic is disbelief. It is kufr. So Allah says that Sulaiman alayhi salam did not do kufr by practicing magic. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا, but instead it was the devils who had disbelieved. How? By practicing magic, by teaching magic. So it was the devils from among the humans, from among the jinn, who had practiced magic. So we see over here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolving Sulaiman alayhi salam over here of having practiced any magic. Now, why is this said over here? Ibn Kathir, the Mufassir Ibn Kathir, he records that practicing magic became very prevalent during Sulaiman alayhi salam's time. People were practicing magic, they were very interested in magic in his time. And in order to stop them, what he did was that he concealed all of the books that were related to magic. He hid them all so that the people don't have access to them. And when Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away, people found them and they said, look, this is what he practiced his magic from. So they blamed Sulaiman alayhi salam for having practiced magic. But that was not actually the case. He did not practice magic. He only concealed those books so that people would stop practicing magic. And this is an opinion that this is what happened. Allah says, يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ, they would teach the people magic. Who would teach people magic? The shayateen would. يُعَلِّمُونَ is from the root letters عَيْن لَمْ مِيم. What does ilm mean? Knowledge. And عَلَّمَ يُعَلِّمُ تَعْلِيم is to teach. So over here the word is يُعَلِّمُونَ, they teach, they would instruct. So the shayateen, they would teach an-nasa, the people. What would they teach them? As-sihra, the magic. Sulaiman alayhi salam would not teach the people magic. He did not practice magic. It was the way, it was a practice of the shayateen. The word as-sihr, magic, is from the root letters sin, ha, ra. Sin, ha, ra. And sihr literally means to deceive someone. What does it mean? To deceive someone. Sahara an means to turn away, to turn something away, to repel. Sahar, suhoor, what is that? Suhoor, sahri, what is that? Early morning, right? It's from the same root letters. Why? Because early morning repels the darkness away. The time of dawn, the time of suhoor, what does it do? It repels the darkness away. It doesn't have anything to do with magic. Okay? Now, what does sihr mean? What is magic? Sihr is an effect whose cause is unknown. An effect whose cause is unknown. The cause is hidden. For example, a person is suffering from a severe illness. A person is suffering from a severe illness. And they have gone through tests after tests after tests to figure out what the problem is. But the doctors, they cannot figure out what the problem is. So sometimes, the problem is magic. Similarly, I'll give you an easier example. If you've seen a magic show, or if you've seen something like, you know, a person being put in a box, and, you know, the magician, he comes and he cuts through the box, and one side of the person is on his right and the other side of the person is on his left. So you see the effect, but what is the cause? How come the person is separated, and how come he's still alive? What is causing this? You don't see the cause, because any effect that you see, there's always a cause behind it, right? There's always a cause behind it. But magic is the effect whose cause is unknown. You don't know what is causing it. You don't know how it works. This is what sihr is. And remember that one is, you know, trickery. One is tricks, which is not actually magic. And the other is real magic or black magic. And remember, all real magic is black magic. Real magic is black magic. There is no good magic. If there is real magic, it is black magic and it is bad magic. There is no good magic. Or there is no innocent magic, you can say. So, يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. And how is this done? How come, you know, you see the effect and the cause is unknown? How come? It is done by the help of the jinn. It is done by the help of the jinn. Because the reality of magic is that a person, what he does is that he sacrifices or he offers sacrifice for the sake of a jinn, and he requests the jinn that you do this and this for me. So the reality of magic is that you help me and I will serve you. And in this process, what is a person doing? He is serving someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why part of magic is shirk. Which is why magic becomes kufr. It becomes disbelief. Because you cannot perform magic except with the help of jinn. Now when you think of magic, don't think of Harry Potter. That's all, I mean, false. There's nothing true to that. Okay? We're talking about real magic. And that is only done with the help of the jinn. So over here Allah says that the shayateen, what would they do? They would teach the people magic. What else would they teach the people? وَمَا أُنزِلَ. And that which was sent down, عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ, upon the two angels. Which two angels? بِبَابِلْ, in Babylon, who were in Babylon. What were the names of the two angels? Harut wa Marut. Harut and Marut were the two angels. So what does it mean by وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ? Meaning, the shayateen, they would also teach, they would also practice, what? That which was sent upon the two angels who were in Babylon. Or the people, they learned magic from who? From the two angels who were in Babylon. Now the word malakain is a dual of, it is a tathniya of malak. And the plural is malaika. So you have malak, singular, malakain, dual, and malaika, plural. Who are these two angels? Harut and Marut. These are the two names of the angels. Who are these two angels? These two angels were sent to the Bani Israel as a test. And these two angels knew magic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels to the people of Lut alayhi salam. Who are the people of Lut alayhi salam? What was the wrong practice that was amongst them? Of homosexuality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent amongst them angels in the form of beautiful men. Why? As a fitna, as a test. Similarly, these two angels who were given the knowledge of magic were sent amongst the Bani Israel. Why? As a test. Bani Israel were very inclined to practicing magic. They were very interested in magic. And two angels were sent amongst them who knew magic, who would teach people magic. Why? As a test. So what do we learn so far? That the people, instead of following the book, what did they do? They began practicing magic. They learned it from who? The shayateen. They learned it from the two angels, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ, and they did not teach anyone. يُعَلِّمَانِ, notice the alif noon, what does that indicate? Two, that the two angels, they would not teach مِنْ أَحَدٍ, any person at all. What would they not teach to any person? Magic. حَتَّى, until يَقُولَ, they both would say, notice again the alif at the end, both of them would say that إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ, indeed we are a trial, indeed we are a test. فَلَا تَكْفُرْ, so don't disbelieve. What does this mean? That before teaching magic to any person, the angels would say that we are a test for you, don't practice magic. But what would the people do? They would insist on learning magic. This is just as many people, they know that practicing magic, learning magic, just as practicing or learning many other things is something that is wrong. But what do people do? They still do it. Should you blame the wrong that exists? Not really. This dunya is a test. The wrong is there for our test. We have to save ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly told us, this is right, this is wrong. You can do this, you cannot do this. And if you do it, it is your fault. So similarly, these people, when they went up to those angels, the angels told them, we are only a test, do not disbelieve by learning magic. But what would the people do? They would insist on learning, and so the angels, they would teach them. Now notice the word over here, fitna, test. Fitna is from the root letters, fa-ta-nun. Fa-ta-nun. And fatana literally means to heat gold in fire. Why? In order to clean it, in order to mold it, in order to give shape to it. So fitna is a situation that is very difficult. It is a situation that is very difficult. It is a difficult situation that a person is in. So it is a test. It is a temptation. A person is tempted to do something. So over here they said, we are only fitna. We are only a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of a test was this? So that Allah would test the people. Who is going to remain on the book of Allah? And who is going to turn towards magic? Who is going to follow the book of Allah? And who is going to be more interested in magic? And these kind of tests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people. So that the sincere one can be separated from the one who is not sincere. The truthful one can be separated from the one who is false. So they would say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ, do not disbelieve by learning and practicing magic. So we see over here, Allah says, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا, then they would learn from both of them. يَتَعَلَّمُونَ is from the root letters عَيْن, لَام, مِيم as well. Previously we read the form يُعَلِّمُونَ, يُعَلِّمَانِ. Now we read the form يَتَعَلَّمُونَ. Is it different? What's the difference? There is an additional ta, right? إِنْ عَلَّمَ يُعَلِّمُ, there is no ta. Over here تَعَلَّمَ يَتَعَلَّمُ, there is a ta. This form of the word means to learn ilm, to acquire knowledge. What does it mean? To acquire knowledge. Just as the hadith is, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. What does تَعَلَّمَ mean? He learns the Qur'an. So فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا, then the people, the Bani Israel, they would learn from them too. Who too? From the two angels. What would they learn from these two angels? What kind of magic especially they would learn from the angels? Ma, that which يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ. يُفَرِّقُونَ is from فَرَّقَ. فَرَّقَ يُفَرِّقُ. What does it mean? To separate. To divide. So they would divide بِهِ with it. With what? Meaning through this magic that they had learned and they had practiced, they would divide, they would separate between who? Baina, between al-mar'i, the man, wa zawjihi, and his wife. The word mar is from the root letters mim ra hamza and zawj. We have done this word many times before. Zay, waw, jim. So they learned such magic through which they would separate between husband and wife. So they learned such magic through which they would create discord between a couple. And this is the worst type of magic. Even if it's not done through magic, this kind of action is worse in nature. Dividing a man and his wife. Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ, and they were not. Who does they refer to? The people who practice magic. بِضَارِّينَ, in the least ones who harm. ضَارِّينَ is a plural of the word ضَار, from the root letters ضَاد, رَا, رَا. ضَاد, رَا, رَا. ضُر. ضُر is used for something that is harmful, something that is detrimental. So ضَارِّينَ, ones who cause harm, ones who inflict harm. So the people, when they practiced magic, they would not harm, bihi with it, meaning with the magic, min ahadin, anyone at all, illa bi'idhnillah, except by the permission of Allah. What does this show? That even if they would practice magic, it would not take effect unless and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed. So we see that nobody is harmed by magic except by the permission of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human beings the free will to do whatever they want. People do what they want. People try to do what they want. But it is not necessary that they accomplish everything that they want to do. This is where the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in. So they would not harm anyone with the magic except by the permission of Allah. Allah says, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ, and they would learn مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ, that which would harm them. Again, يَضُرُّ is from ضَضْرَارَ. They learned magic which would harm them. How is magic harmful? My question is, how is magic harmful for the one who practices magic? Yes. First of all, because they are devoting their acts of worship, such as sacrifice, to other than Allah, such as the jinn. This is involved in magic. So they are harming their deen. They are harming their akhirah. A person who practices magic loses his deen, loses his akhirah entirely. How else? When a person performs magic, especially the one that is mentioned over here, they would harm. How? By creating discord between a man and wife. So, as a result, who would they harm? The people. And as a result, they would harm the society that they would live in. Creating discord between a man and wife affects the society. So, as a result, the magician, by performing his magic, he may obtain his selfish goals to some extent. But what is he doing? He's harming himself. He's harming the society that he is living in. So he's becoming a kafir by performing magic, meaning he's losing his akhirah, he is losing his deen, he is losing his dunya. So, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ, they learned that which harmed them. وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ, and it would not benefit them at all. يَنْفَعُ is from نُون فَعِين, نَفْ. What does نَفْعُ mean? That which is beneficial. عِلْمًا نَافِعًا, knowledge that is beneficial. So they learned magic which would harm them and which would not benefit them at all. Now you might say that magicians, they do end up achieving their goals sometimes. So they are benefiting in some way. The benefit is very minimal. The benefit is very less compared to the loss. And obviously if the loss is great, then the benefit is useless. So, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا, and certainly they knew. The people, the Bani Israel, they knew. They were aware of what? That لَمَنْ, surely any person, اشْتَرَاهُ, the person who bought it, a person who purchased it. Purchased what? Purchased what? Purchased magic. But remember that ishtara can only be done when a person takes something in exchange for something. So they purchased magic, and what did they sell? What was the price they paid? Their akhirah. What did the angels tell them? إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. We are only a test, we are only a trial, do not disbelieve. What did they say? We don't care, we want to learn magic. So they bought, they purchased magic, meaning they learned it, and the price they paid for it was, their iman. They knew that any person who purchased magic, مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, there is for him in the hereafter none min khalaq, any share at all. He does not have any share at all in the hereafter. Now the word khalaq is very interesting. It is from the root letters kha, lam, qaf. Have you heard of the word akhlaq, khuluq? What does it mean? Character, right? So khalaq is a share of goodness that a person receives because of his good habits, because of his good character. So what is it? It is a good share. It is a share of goodness. So they knew that whoever practiced magic in the dunya, he will have no good share in the hereafter. What is a good share in the hereafter? Jannah. So they knew that such a person would have no portion in paradise. وَلَبِئْسَ, and surely how bad? مَا, that which شَرَوْ, they sold. بِهِ, for it, أَنفُسَهُمْ, they're sold. Now the word شَرَوْ will be translated as they sold. It's the same root as اشْتَرَوْ, from the root letters شِنْ رَيَا. Because they gave up something in order to get magic. What did they give up? مَا شَرَوْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ, themselves. They sold themselves. They lost themselves. They gave themselves, they gave their akhirah, their eternity, their dunya, their deen. For what? For magic. وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ, and surely how bad is that which they sold themselves for? Have you heard of the expression, selling oneself to the devil? This is literally how it is in magic, that a person sells his soul to the devil, that he sacrifices for the devil, for the jinn. He offers so much to the jinn. Why? So that the jinn can help him. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, if only they knew. If only they knew what? If only they were aware of the consequences of magic. If they knew, they wouldn't have done so. The process of having a jinn to help you to perform magic is very nasty. It's horrible. Let's listen to the recitation of this verse, and then there are a few more points that I would like to go over.
واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما أنزل على الملكين ببابل هاروت وماروت وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشتراه ما له في الآخرة من خلاق وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ.
So we see in this ayah that the Bani Israel, instead of focusing on the Book of Allah, instead of running to the Book of Allah, instead of being interested in the Book of Allah, they were interested in performing magic. We learned that when the angels, when they came to Babylon, to the city of Babylon, and when the Bani Israel, they found out that these angels, they know magic, they teach magic, they ran to them. They left everything, they ran to them to learn magic from them. But the Book of Allah was also there. Were they equally interested in the Book of Allah? No. Remember, we learned that there is always some ijl that prevents a person from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ijl comes in several different forms. Several various forms. And for these people, it was their love of the dunya, of, you know, the thrill that they would get by performing magic. Because people who know magic, you know, immediately they're given so much importance. People get very impressed by them. If a child learns a trick, he's like the famous child. He's a famous kid. You know, he knows tricks and he can do this and he can do that. So similarly, the Bani Israel were very impressed by these things. And instead of focusing on the Book of Allah, what did they do? They focused on performing magic. We also see over here that they performed magic in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and they continued to practice magic since that time, up until the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and even after. They have always been interested in such things. There was a man by the name of Labid bin Al-Asim who performed magic upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. He performed magic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. So we see that this practice, it continued. Another thing that we see over here is that it wasn't Sulaiman alayhi salam who disbelieved by performing magic, but instead it was the shayateen who disbelieved by performing magic. So we see over here that there's the shayateen who performed magic, and it was also the two angels who taught magic. Now, Allahu A'lam what the reality is. Who taught magic? Who practiced magic? We see that the shayateen are mentioned and the angels are also mentioned. How exactly it happened, we don't really find that out from this ayah. But all we know is the shayateen, they practiced magic, and the angels, they taught the magic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this, and we should keep to this only. Remember the ayah of the mosquito? Don't get stuck on the mosquito. Look at the intent. Why is this being mentioned? Because there are many, many Bani Israeli traditions which explain how the shayateen did it and how the angels did it. Some say that the people, when they would go to the angels, then the angels, they would take them to the shayateen who would teach them magic. It wasn't actually the angels. We learn over here that the angels taught magic. So let's keep it to that. Keep it simple. Also, we learn from this ayah that learning and teaching magic, both is kufr. Learning magic and teaching magic is both kufr. Because magic is done how? By using the jinn, by using the shayateen, by serving them, by becoming an abd to them, which is shirk. And also, practicing magic is forbidden. Why? Because it involves harming other people. It involves harming other people. What is mentioned over here is مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ, destroying the family. Imagine the effect that that would have on the family. So we see over here that practicing magic, teaching magic, learning magic, all of that is forbidden. Now, a question may arise over here that the angels are the ones who were commanded to teach magic, isn't it? Malakain, two angels, Harut and Marut, they would teach magic. But we learned that the angels, they don't do anything wrong, isn't it? They only obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why did they teach magic? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to the Bani Israel as a test. We see that prostrating to anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forbidden. It is shirk. But all of the angels, what were they told? To prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. And if they did not obey him at that time, that would be disobeying Allah. Right? So, an action, it may be something that is forbidden, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is commanding us to do it, it becomes an obligation for us. Similarly, killing is forbidden. Killing your own child is forbidden. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was commanded to slaughter his own son. So, a hukum on the apparent is forbidden, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands it, then going against it would be forbidden. Also, we learn from this ayah that magic does not harm a person except by the permission of Allah. Magic does not harm a person except by the permission of Allah. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So don't get paranoid if you have a headache. Oh, I think somebody did magic on me. If something is stolen, somebody did magic on us. If somebody is not listening to you, someone has done magic on him. Because it can only happen by the permission of Allah, and everything is not magic. Also, we learn from here that magic does more harm than good. Magic does more harm than good. There may be some good, but it is temporary, and it is nothing compared to the harm that a person brings upon himself by practicing magic. Also, we learn from here that the owner, as the one who controls all gain and all harm, all loss, is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone has, you know, magic done upon them, if somebody has affected another person with magic, then they shouldn't go to magicians. They shouldn't go to magicians to cure that magic, to get rid of that magic. Because sometimes if people, they feel that somebody has done magic upon them, they go to magicians. No. A person should not go to them. Who should they turn to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Naml, ayah number 62, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Is he not best, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who responds to the desperate one when he calls upon him and removes the evil? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who removes evil. It's not these magicians. It's not people. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was affected by the magic that Labid performed on him, we see that he cured it. How? By reciting the mu'awwidhatain. By reciting the Qur'an. Also, we learn from this ayah that a person who learns and teaches magic would have destruction in the hereafter. He will have no good share. He will have no share in the hereafter. He will only have punishment. And this is something that is very dangerous, because we see that our children, small children, little children, are interested in magic. This is all that they think about many times. What they're reading, what they're watching. I mean, they're reading books like Harry Potter, they're watching the movies, they're watching shows. I'm sure that they can learn language skills, they can learn other skills through other books as well. Because the more you get exposed to such things, the more they become normal to you. Isn't it so? And it becomes like the ijl in their hearts. They're so interested in it. All that they think about, all that they're interested in is magic, tricks. And it takes them away from that which is more important. A child should be raised with Allah in his mind, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his hero, not Harry Potter, not a magician, not a sorcerer. And these ideas, they transfer into the deen as well. It's falsehood. It's something that is not true. So we shouldn't fill their innocent minds with something that is untrue, with something that is baseless. Also, we learn from this that the worst form of magic is to create separation between husband and wife. And because it is the worst type of magic, that is why it has been mentioned over here. And doing this in any way, whether it is through magic or any other way, it is something that is very much disliked. Creating discord between a husband and wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا. And if indeed they had believed. Who? If the Bani Israel, if they had believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the Qur'an, if they had believed in the book that was sent to them, and if they had practiced it, وَاتَّقَوْا. And they had adopted taqwa. What is taqwa? To protect oneself. To take a shield. So there are, you know, these wrong things that are out there in the society. What are we supposed to do? Protect ourselves. Just as the two angels were sent to them with the knowledge of magic, what did the angel say? We are a fitna. Do not disbelieve. What were they supposed to do? Have taqwa. So similarly, today, there might be a lot of wrong things that are out there in the society. You cannot blame the society. You have to check yourself. You have to have taqwa yourself. If anything goes wrong, we say, you know, the society that we live in is such and such. Sorry, I can't stay away from having a house and mortgage. I mean, this is the only option I have. I can't stay away from taking interest. This is the only option I have living in this country. I can't stay away from this haram food because this is the only option I have. No, there are other options. We cannot blame the society for the wrong. Yes, it does play a role, but we cannot entirely put the blame on the society. We have to check ourselves as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, this is right, this is wrong. So Allah says, if they had believed, and if they had adopted taqwa, if they had kept away from practicing magic. For them it was magic, for us it could be something else. لَمَثُوبَةٌ. Then surely a big reward مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ from Allah, خَيْرٌ it is better. If they had stayed away, then surely a big reward from Allah was much better for them. They learned practice magic. Why? To gain some benefits of the dunya. And they lost their akhirah. Allah says, if they had kept away from magic, and if they had believed and followed the book of Allah, they would have received such reward that was much better than the benefit that they received by practicing magic. The word mathuba is from the root letters thawaba. The word thawab is from the same root letters. And thawab is reward. So mathuba, reward. And also, thawab, it is used for something that is returned. So mathuba, the return that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them for their taqwa, for their iman, that would be much better. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ If only they knew. If only they knew what? If only they knew what? That the reward of the hereafter is much better than the temporary gains a person could receive in this dunya by disobeying Allah. Now, I want you to notice one more thing. In the previous ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا And certainly, they knew. Who knew? The Bani Israel, they knew that whoever practiced magic, he will have no share in the hereafter. But what did they do? They went against this knowledge. They still practiced magic. And at the end, Allah says, وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ If only they knew. What does this show? That they had the knowledge, but they went against it. Allah says they didn't have knowledge. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ If only they had knowledge, they wouldn't have practiced magic. Did they not have the knowledge? Of course they did. So what does this show to us? That true ilm, true knowledge is amal, is acting upon that knowledge. If a person knows something, but he still doesn't practice it, what does that show? He doesn't have that knowledge. And if a person practices that which he knows, it shows that he does have knowledge. He is someone who has knowledge. In the previous verses, we learned that the Bani Israel, they threw the promise that they made with Allah behind their backs as if they didn't even know. They pretended as if it didn't even exist. How did they show that? By their actions. So actions show what type of ilm we have. And if we really want to be of those people who have ilm, then we have to do amal on the ilm that we have. Let's listen to the recitation of this last ayah.
واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما أنزل على الملكين ببابل هاروت وماروت وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشتراه ما له في الآخرة من خلاق ولبئس ما شروا به أنفسهم لو كانوا يعلمون ولو أنهم آمنوا واتقوا لمثوبة من عند الله خير لو كانوا يعلمون
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.